Brethren, if all of you that have your Bibles with you, if you could turn to Luke 22, we're going to do something a little different today. We're not going to have a doctrinal study. We've had a number of those leading up to our memorial. But we are going to use these scriptures as the basis for what we will do after we read them. So if everyone could listen carefully to the reader and follow along in your own Bibles, that would be great. Sister Janice, do you have a translation other than the Amplified? Okay, let's do the King James, just for the sake of familiarity. And we're going to read Luke 22, and Sister Janice is going to read from verse 1 through verse 20. That's all the scripture reading will do. She's going to read all of it for the sake of convenience, and all of us will follow along and think about what's being said.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou have that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you, there shall a man meet you, bearing the pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you.
Thank you. Now, no doubt the apostles that participated in this last Passover and first memorial, officiated by Jesus himself, maintained that as a memory throughout their consecrated lives, as the most meaningful memorial they could have participated in, because it was the first and because it was Jesus who officiated. This made me wonder, and this is what I want to open up to everyone to discuss. Can you think back in your consecrated life and pick out a memorial, or maybe two or even three, that had particular meaning for you that year for some reason. Special memorial memories. And before I want to hear yours, I will tell you a couple of mine. When I first came into the truth, I was still a teenager, and the first memorials that I participated in were all officiated by Norman Woodworth, who founded the Dawn. And it was the tradition of the New York class because of Brother Woodworth's consecrated life and example and knowledge to just allow him to do it every time. And I remember very well, the service was very short. Brother Woodworth did not speak for an elongated period of time, maybe not more than 20 minutes. And he would always pretty much give the same discourse. And he always brought up the 6th chapter of John, where Jesus talked about where you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood or you have no life in you. And Brother Woodworth was such a clear-minded and simple-minded Christian. He made the memorial and its emblems come to such life, and he made them so meaningful and clear that even as a very young individual, not only young as a person, but young in the truth, I could still understand it. So one of my great memorial memories is to have the privilege of going to a memorial that Brother Woodworth officiated. And then also, some years later, I was still at the Dawn, there was a brother in the class, Brother Stratton. He was quite elderly, in his 80s, and he had Parkinson's. And we became very good friends. For some reason, even as a young fellow, I gravitated toward older brethren and older people in general. And it was coming up time for the memorial, and he was never able to get there because he lived in Paterson, New Jersey. It was at night. He was in his 80s. Making that trip into New York City was really impossible for him. And I felt bad, and so I decided I would take the buses to his house, which I would do occasionally anyway on Saturdays to just meet with him and talk to him. And I would go and have the memorial with him. And he prepared everything, and he officiated. And this was a brother who went back to Brother Russell's day in the truth. So can you imagine having a memorial with a brother, just he and I, who went back to the days of Brother Russell and experienced the memorial in those days. So that's a memorial that really stood out and stands out in my mind, along with all the others. And then there was one last one. This was more recent. For some reason, by the Lord's grace, here in the Los Angeles class, I was permitted to become an elder, which I always treasured that opportunity to speak about the truth to my brethren. And I was given the opportunity the first time to officiate at a memorial. And that turned out to be my wife's last memorial, the last one she attended or could attend before she passed away. So I have three very significant memorial memories, and I wonder what yours are. So does anyone have memories like that of a particular or several memorials that meant a lot to them? Brother Ron has his hand up.
I forgot which brother it was who gave it. But there is one memorial that I do relish so much. About three years ago, I'm not sure, just soon, that involved that the trip that the disciples were taking on the road to Emmaus. And they ran into this stranger who started walking with them. And he explained to them all the details about what the memorial truly meant. And this particular talk I have always treasured in my heart.
Thank you very much, Brother Ron. That's a nice memorial memory. Anything that makes that celebration meaningful to us is, of course, a blessing. Brother Charles.
Well, I remember one memorial. I was traveling with Douglas, and we were in Switzerland, and I got a letter from sister over in Malus that I should come over. So I drove over to Malus, and it happened to be Memorial Night. And Brother Fisher from Germany came over and gave the talk, so I didn't remember. I didn't remember much of English, German at all, so I just sat there. What could I do? He gave the whole talk in German. But I got to meet some of the brethren from Malus and from Germany, and that was a good memory. I forget her name now. She's had the Don from Malus. My memory's going. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Charles. Well, that must have been an interesting memorial. Sister Janice.
Well, a couple of them bring to mind. One was my mom was diagnosed with liver cancer just before Memorial, and that was a tough memorial for us. Another memorial that I remember, Russell was newly a deacon, and we were not able to be here in Los Angeles because he had a conference in Las Vegas, and it happened to be Memorial. And there, at that time, there was just a couple of brethren in North Las Vegas, and so we celebrated the memorial with them, and it truly was interesting to be in Sin City at the time of the memorial. It just gave us such a different perspective with it being that time of year.
Goodness. Thank you for that. Memorial memories. Who has them? Sister Teresa.
I think for me, one of the most memorable memorials were the ones when my mom and I were still in Montreal, and I had recently consecrated because of my experience with the Mormons. They are the ones who actually made me understand that Jesus could be calling people to the heavenly class and not just to the earthly class like the witnesses were teaching. And the memorial was supposed to be on Friday, and Tuesday my mom had a severe accident. She fell backwards in her bathtub and sprained her spinal column. So she was completely immobile. She was in her bed crying. Now, my mom had always been afraid that I was aiming too high by consecrating. She thought that I was not worthy of it. So when memorial time came Friday and I organized our little meeting, to my great surprise, my mom partook of the emblems, and I asked her after, I said, "Mom, why did you do that? Did you do that because of me?" And she said, "No." She said, "While I was lying here in bed, I had a vision, and I saw that not too far away from me, the Lord was dying on the cross, and I heard God say to me, You are crying and complaining, you are a sinner, and here is my son who never sinned, and he's dying on the cross for you. And she says at that moment she understood that the Lord had been calling her all these years too, and so she partook with me, and I think it was the best memorial I've had.
Well, that's quite a story. Thank you for sharing that. Who else has significant memorial memories? Brother Scott.
Well, a couple of years ago, before Charlie Redeker died, I went to their house for a memorial. They live about a mile away. And we tuned in conference call and with the San Luis Obispo class. And it was very, very intimate and very nice, and to be with them and to share the memorial experience with them. I'm sure that they had been for years, just the two of them, having the memorial service. So it was nice to be with them that day. And I think it was just the year before Charlie died.
Mm. Thank you for that memory. Anybody else have any particular memorial memories? Brother Mark.
Wow. You know, I can remember attending memorials in our class in the at the Masonic Lodge down on Hoover Street back in the early 60s as a young child. We'd sit on the side in the back, wouldn't be partaking, and my brother and I, and but observing the brethren keeping the memorial and what it meant and how special that service was. I remember Russell Pollock leading one of those memorial services back at the young age. I remember Burton Brown leading those services, and I always appreciated some conversations and studies I've had with Burton and understanding the memorial while meeting over at their home in Hollywood here for some of our family gatherings. More recently, I think, you know, when Sister Ruth passed away, when Janice's mom passed away back in 86, you know, how that affected me a lot. I think that was one of the crowning events for me that led me to consecrate my life to the Lord. And I remember that next year, attending memorial and participating in that service here in the LA Ecclesia. And I thought my dad led that service, but I could be wrong. But that brings back some memories that go way back. I was just, you know, I don't have the records for our class going back past 97. Maybe Sister Nanette has them going back further. I remember Brother Lamel, he had the memorial service in 2001. I know you had it in 2004. The last one my dad had was in 2007. He had the resurrection service following memorial in 2011. A few months later, he passed away. So there's a lot of precious memories going back for lifetime. We each have those that are each special to us, that I'm sure many can reflect on.
Thank you, Brother Mark, for those wonderful memories of yours. Yes, I think Sister Dorothy mentioned it in the first meeting, that somehow or another the memorial is like the end or the beginning of our year, because everything truly centers around our Lord and what he's done on our behalf and how that's led us to be with one another in this consecrated walk. And these brethren that Brother Mark brought up, they are all precious to us. And those that aren't with us, we have wonderful memories of them. Does anybody else have any particular memorial memories that are being stirred up? Sister Marty, you can go again if you come up with another one, brethren.
My first memorial was back east at the Church of the Pilgrims, Brother Oscar Magnuson, Brother Baker, and there were others, Brother Woodworth. That was my first memorial. Wonderful. Dedicating my life in consecration to our Heavenly Father. But I'm saying, this memorial to come, I've been studying and going over it and over and over it. The depth of meaning is more, as I think, as I progress in the truth. And it's wonderful, and I'm looking forward to next April 2nd, being with you, brethren, celebrating the memorial, our Lord's death, what he went through. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Marty, for those heartfelt thoughts. Sister Janice, again, good, because we all have a number of special memorials in our lives.
Well, when Mark was talking about when we were growing up and down on Hoover Street, the hall was, what, about two-thirds again as big as this room? And I think at that time, when we were growing up, it used to be the Brown and Jeffrey and Davis clan. We would sit in the first row right behind all of the elders. And we must have had at least 15 or more elders at that time. And that's how large the group was, to sit behind all of those elders. And we as little kids, we would, you know, when it got to be too much, we'd sleep on the floor when it was too... And that's going back really a long time. But how many we had at the memorial. We must have had at least 100 to 200 people at a memorial. And it's just amazing to see how our numbers have truly dwindled and how much more precious it is because we are all still together.
Thank you very much. Brother Jim.
Brother Charles sort of brought one of the memories a little higher on my list. And that was when I went to Australia and New Zealand back in 1970, that the flight schedule posed an interesting problem. I was to depart from Auckland, New Zealand, 1 minute before midnight, after the memorial there. But I would be crossing the international date line and arriving here at 6 o'clock in the afternoon before the memorial was to be held here. What do you do? So I thought about it, and then I asked several brethren, and everybody agreed. You certainly have to partake of the memorial down there, because after all, you never know what flight schedules are going to be, how they will stick to them or not. But what do you do after you come? And I got three different pieces of advice. One was, well, you've already partaken of memorial, so you come home, David and Shirley Bruce will meet you at the airport and they will simply take you home. Second advice is, well, no, it would be better since you're in town. You'd think it's strange not to be at the memorial observance. So you go with them to the memorial observance and you simply explain why you don't partake. The third advice was, well, you have a unique opportunity. You partake of the memorial down there, but you are here for the memorial. You partake also here to show the oneness of the body between New Zealand and here. None of the advices seemed really bad, and each one had its virtues. It was a good experience to consider what one would do in such a case. As it turned out, my boss said, why don't you take an extra week down there? Just don't make it 2 weeks. And so I turned around and went to Australia and enjoyed the memorial with the brethren in Melbourne. But I'm grateful for the opportunities to have had memorial in at least 5 different locations with various brethren. The most important thing is to remember him, our Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Very interesting. Who else has some precious memorial memories? Sister Teresa.
This is another one of my memorials. Much later, having been brought up as a witness, we did not have the luxury of Sunday schools. So the children from infancy had to be with us at the meetings. And so when David and Annie were very, very small, I had the dilemma of what do I do? Because a lot of the friends did not want to be disturbed. And this being a holy convocation, I didn't want to disturb anyone with small children. So as they were very, very little, I instilled the dread of God into them. And I said to them, do not even so much as breathe during that hour. And you know what? The children never missed a single memorial and they were always extremely quiet. But I was very careful because the Bible did say that at the first memorial, the Passover, the children were supposed to be with the parents. So I said, I'm going to give it a try and I'm going to have the children there every single memorial. And it turned out okay. And to this day, I think they have a dread of the memorial, but they take it very seriously.
That's excellent. Who else has thoughts and memories of their memorials? Oh, Brother Mark.
It was, since Brother Jim mentioned attending other congregations and celebrating the memorial with them, I had the privilege 1 year of celebrating memorial in Chicago. And, of course, their congregation brought me back to the thought of how big our class used to be here in Los Angeles. When you think of it, Sister Janice mentioned, we used to have at least 15 elders. I think that's a small number because I know the brethren were over 200 to 250 maybe because we had the Polish brethren that would meet with the class. And then the middle meeting, because this is when we used to start our meetings at 11 a.m. and or was it 11:15? 11:15. The second meeting after lunch, the Polish would go down and have a meeting in Polish, and then we'd all meet back at 3 p.m. for the third discourse in the afternoon. And that was how a normal Sunday went. And then when we had memorial on a Sunday, we'd have our normal meeting, and we'd stay and maybe go out and get a light dinner and then come back for memorial that night. But I was thinking, in Chicago, the thing that I noticed different in Chicago, the custom that they had in Chicago, they had the little cups for the fruit of the vine that you could individually take, but they also had a common cup that they would pass also for brethren that wanted to share the exact same cup from the same glass of the fruit of the vine. So you had your choice. You could do it either way, and they provided it that way. Just that, and so that was their custom, and we've elected to let everyone have individual cups is the way we've done it here, and that seemed from a healthy perspective, with everyone's, with their colds and things, we thought that'd be the best thing, and that's the tradition. Wow, for me. I think of Brother Sam and Gene Christick, that many of you brethren don't know, that were members of our ecclesia for decades past. And Sister Sam, Brother Sam and Sister Jean were the ones that took care of the emblems from year to year, going back as before my time. And Brother Sam was getting up there in age, and so was Sister Jean. And I know when I was presented with the opportunity, they asked me to take care of that service for them. And they showed me all the things that they did, how they prepared things, and asked me to continue on with that, which I've been pleased to do for many, many years in the past. But I think of them often, the example they set in that regard.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Yes, I remember the Christics well, and we appreciate you've taken that service over for them. And by the way, in the New York Ecclesia, they did what they do in Chicago. They did have the one cup that others, if they wished to do that, could partake of that. And some did. Brother Charles.
Yeah, I remember in Malus, they had the single cup. And it was wine, and they passed it around, and you took a sip, and then you took a little cloth that they put with it, and then you handed it to the next person.
There's many ways,
yeah,
but with one meaning. Memories of the memorial. Brother Jim, another one.
One of my best memories of Memorial was probably the smallest one I've been to when I was a student and going to Ann Arbor, living there at the dormitory. We usually went into Detroit. Brother and Sister Nelson would pick me up and take me with them. But this one time, they didn't go into Detroit, but there were two elderly sisters in the Ann Arbor area. So they took me over there, and there was a pilgrim brother in town, John T. Reed, the one that lived to 100 years old and was still singing when he was 100. But it was a very gentle service that he did the singing, he gave the talk, and served the emblems. And at the time, he was well into his 80s, and his voice was strong, and his spirit was beautiful. A very unforgettable service with just the six of us.
Very nice. Thank you, Brother Jim. Thoughts and memories of the memorials in your life. Sister Teresa, are you raising your hand or just peering over?
Only if no one else wants to.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear from you.
Well, this was after I consecrated in Montreal, but that was before I had a chance to celebrate the real Passover Memorial. Because the Mormons baptized me, because the witnesses would not baptize me into the high calling, so I asked the Mormons to do it. I didn't tell them what I was doing, but I said to them that I needed someone to baptize me, and I knew what I was doing. And so I went to their first meeting, and they were serving the emblems. So naturally, being newly consecrated, I was extremely emotional. And to me, this was such an awesome time and such a sacred time that the first time I partook of the emblems, and they only served bread and water instead of wine for their sacraments. But I said to myself, well, the Lord knows very well why I'm doing this, so I'm going to partake of it because this is a sign to the Lord that I have now fully given my life to them, to him and to Jesus. And so I partook of the emblems, and I was shaking inside because I was so taken by this holy act that I had committed. And then, lo and behold, about an hour later, they passed the emblems again. And I said to myself, well, I don't want to partake a second time because one time is enough. And lo and behold, in the afternoon, they passed the emblems again. And then I realized that this is Satan's way of diminishing the value of these sacraments. The more often you partake of them, the less meaning they start to have on you. And so I realized that, you know, these poor people were really, really in error. And it was so sad to see that they did this without even understanding what they were doing. And I knew exactly why Satan was doing this.
Very good point. Yes, our once a year observance at the exact time, or as best as we can determine, really does help build the depth of the meaning of this celebration into us. Who else has meaningful memories of their memorials? Brother Jim. He has a number of good memories.
Last year was an interesting memorial out in Covina at Sister Nancy Carey's home. There were not many of us there, just a few, but also there were some who were partaking of the memorial over the telephone, because when you're out in Apple Valley area, you're far from either here or Covina. And that, of course, was Sister Janice Fetro and her son. That was a way that they could be part of the memorial service, even though they couldn't get to be there physically. Yet it was all one body in Christ spiritually.
Very good, Brother Jim. Thank you for that. We have time for one more, maybe two. Sister Janice.
I don't know if you'd say that this is a memory of a memorial, but it's the preparation towards memorial. Russell had just completed doing his being certified as a video repair man, and so not that we have VCRs anymore, but at that point, my dad was kind of interested in, well, gee, maybe we could do videotaping. And mom and dad's den is where we first started doing the videotaping for memorial services, so that those that were isolated would be able to have their own memorial service with an elder leading the service, and then they would provide their own emblems. And those are special memories for me, that it was something that we were able to help out so that very many brethren could benefit from it. And it's a wonderful memory.
Yes, that became a great service. Well, you know, we can hardly imagine what that first memorial was like, with Jesus himself passing out the emblems and the memory those apostles carried through their entire lives of that moment. And this Thursday, we'll have the opportunity of getting together and as a body, remembering our Lord and his great sacrifice that has literally made every aspect of God's plan possible. And I know we appreciate and treasure the fact that we can do that together. And maybe this memorial, for some reason, is going to stand out in a special way in your minds as your consecrated lives continue. Thank you for all your contributions, brethren, to this little service.